We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Well, good rainy afternoon to you. Happy Friday to you. It is just a joy to be here. I am so excited every time I have an opportunity to fill in for Bobby. And I'll tell you the funniest thing, it's weird, but every time it seems that I end up sitting in Bob's chair, it's on a day when some huge event has occurred. So I guess I must be living right. I don't know. It's a sad event, not something I take pleasure in, but it makes doing talk radio a whole lot more interesting, doesn't it? And of course, talk radio is your program as much as it is mine or ours here. And for that reason, we always want to hear from you. And we do that on the Ingalls Advantage talk line. That's 800-347-1063. Or, of course, the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line at 71307. Well, obviously, the big story of the day, of course, is what happened in New Zealand. And I do want to talk about it, and I want you to talk about it. And there's a much to discuss, not only as to how this came to pass, but what ramifications are going to result from all of this. And we're already seeing some of that. So I do want to talk about that. But if it's all right with you, I think it's worth taking a step back and taking what might be called a more macro look at what is happening in the world. And of course, I'm going to focus on the United States because that's our world at the moment. So I look at I wake up every morning, and even on days when I'm not filling in for Bob, because I, of course, have a retirement planning business and we do that show. I'm always doing show prep constantly, reading and researching on the internet. And when you go on the internet, you more and more start thinking about what is wrong with this internet. I cannot believe, you know, the internet is just evil. And it is a very dark and cruel place on one level. Because, of course, there are every kind of perverse sicko in the world, including the fellow that did the shooting or the fellows that did the shooting over there. Of course, if people don't like your politics, they unfriend you on social media. But I believe that we're missing an important part here, and it ties into what's happened in New Zealand and what's happening here today, and it is this. It isn't the internet that's evil. It's people that are evil and always have been. There is one of the distinct differences between the Christian worldview and much of the worldview before the, quote, Enlightenment thinkers like Rousseau came along, is that man is inherently evil. That would be a biblical way to look at it. Not the noble savage as he's been portrayed, and not, because of this, capable of becoming his own God, as it were. And I know that might sound a little bit arcane, but just stick with me for a second. Okay, so we are seeing in this country, and the world for that matter, all of this evil happening. And we're more aware of it than we've ever been because of the transparency available to us on the internet. And I would call to your attention that we in this country have, I would say, arguably for the last 60 years, let's say at least that, 50 years or so to 60 years, have been on an increasingly rapid train heading downhill, a runaway train, moving away from what this country once was, which was a great country, to what sadly, it has become culturally. I can, for example, this whole college admission scandal that's going on. Perfect example of how corrupt our country has become on so many different levels. And this is important for a number of reasons. One of them is that we are engaged right now in this country in the greatest cultural argument since the Civil War. We are genuinely at a point where we have an uncivil war underway, and it is because of the divisiveness in politics and culture, getting much more so. So I want to point out something. If you go back and you look at history, one of the things that I've always been fascinated by is the fact that things develop slowly over time, but they happen suddenly. Archduke Ferdinand gets assassinated. Bam, you got World War I. Pearl Harbor, boom, we're in the war. 9/11, bam. But the things that were leading up to this were building for a long time. But eventually there's a tipping point. I mentioned this book many times, and I highly recommend it. It's one of the most interesting books, called The Fourth Turning. But essentially, if you just think of this country in a seasonal sense, that about every 20 years another generation comes along, and each generation has its own characteristics and ideas, each of those is different. Well, the last of those seasons, if you will, is called the fourth turning in this book. And that is when all the stuff that's been building finally hits the fan. We arrived at this fourth turning around 2007-08, 10 years into it or so now. And the biggest events always occur toward the end. And I can give you examples. World War II was a second turning, or fourth turning, rather. Civil War is another example of that. And so we now are at a point in this country where it is worth asking the question, what do we do at this stage to actually make America great again? And to do this, I would argue that the only way you are ever going to make America great again is you're going to have to make us moral again, which we certainly are not. We become a sick nation. We are, just like Rome and many other cultures before us. And I would also point out to you that our founding fathers were aware of the correlation between morality and the ability to have a representative republic. Former President John Adams, you might recall, said that the Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people, and went on to say that avarice, ambition, revenge, licentiousness would break the strongest cords of our Constitution, just as a whale goes through a net. Well, our Constitution was made for moral and religious people, and it is not adequate for other types of populations. And I'm afraid that we've reached a point where we really need to begin to ask this question. Are we indeed one nation under God? Are we indeed a moral nation? It's funny that we find, especially the left, constantly accusing us of victimizing various victim groups, constantly ragging on conservatives because they're saying that it's just immoral that people should have all this money, and it's immoral because of, you know, white privilege and so on and so forth. I would argue that the genuine immorality in this country issues and has issued from the left spectrum of ideology. And to that, I would give examples of what Hollywood has consistently been pumping out for the last 40 years, the sickness that's happened to the music industry, the sickness that's happened to culture, and, of course, the internet. Where do you begin with that? So I will ask you this question. If we don't want things to really get ugly, if we really, truly want to make America great again, how could we achieve that, considering where we are at the moment? Think about that for a second. I'd love to hear from you, see what you think. And, of course, I have some other ideas on this. And, look, you may talk about whatever you want. I got a bunch of cool stuff to try to throw out there for you of interest to you. So I'm Tony Dale sitting in for the one and only Bob McLean. Be back right after this. Howdy, welcome back. So glad you're here. Just a reminder, if you'd like to call in, love to hear your voice. 800-347-1063 in the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, 71307. And we're going to start going to the phone line today in Julie in beautiful Lake Lure. I love it up there, Julie. I'm kind of about halfway
up.
I live about halfway up toward you in Tryon.
Oh, that's a pretty area, too. Horse country. Who doesn't love looking at horses?
Well, I have one, and I ride him.
So, really? Yeah. I'm jealous.
Well, it's
always been a cowboy in my mind, but only in my mind.
Well, I grew up in Texas, and you know, I've lived in Tryon for a long time, and it wasn't until just a few years ago I decided to get a horse. And the reason is, and I know this isn't what you call for, but since we're on the subject, a lot of people don't know this, that Tryon has the FETA trail system, which is one of the largest private horse trail systems in the entire United States. It's about 150 miles of trails up in those Mount Blue Ridge, and it is just unreal.
Really?
Yeah, that's why people like to join and ride up in there.
I can't believe I didn't know that, because I'm actually friends with some horse people, and I'd never heard that number of miles ever quoted as being running. That's fantastic. I mean, you know, horses and motorcycles, as you know, are drawn to this area.
Yes, and they're both just a delight. So tell me what is on your mind.
Well, I called because, you know, I've been saying this to myself and to my husband. We talk about this frequently, especially now that we're empty nesters, but the morality issue not being addressed, certainly politically, and because my husband's an avid reader of anything having to do with, you know, the founding fathers and their personal lives, you know, biographies and things, because that's really key to understanding what I consider to be the miracle of the founding of our country, that all of those men, and they were different than one another. It had many differences and many arguments, some of them violent, as you know, and but they all came together at the same place and time to form the most unique government that's ever been known in humankind. Like it or not, that's just the truth. You're right. And more than one, I think, spoke about how this kind of governance, which is, you know, a type of democracy, being a representative republic, would only work for moral people. But, you know, and 70% or more of us, when surveys are done, claim to be Christians, and yet we keep voting for things that enslave us and that are absolutely anathema to who we're supposed to be. And I just wondered, is there a politician, do you think, or not even a politician, would someone have any success in the political arena putting the onus somewhat back on the people, because we are we the people, to you know, examine the choices we're making and have it be more about the big picture? You know, to save the country. I mean, would anybody, you think, get any footing that way? I mean, you probably, with the cult of personality, you probably wouldn't get far lecturing people. But, you know, we vote for these people, the truth be told. And, you know, we get what we vote for.
Yep. I would say we used to. I don't know that that's even true anymore. And I tell you why. I think starting, I don't know, quite some time ago, little by little, we started transmogrifying, if you will, from what we originally were, which was a representative republic, to what I think now could almost be called the administrative state. And today, the people that get elected, this is more and more become controlled by big corporate America and big special interest. And they are the ones that fund the politicians, particularly at the primary level. And so the people that we end up having the opportunity to vote for are, in many cases, already been bought and sold. And this has happened time and again throughout history. And I think we have reached the point where we see the combination of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce and the big bureaucracy. Think of what is going on in Washington right now. We didn't elect any of these people. Particularly, we didn't elect Robert Mueller or any of the nefarious bunch at the FBI that should be, by all rights, in jail. And so today, for example, the president just vetoed, he just vetoed the emergency funding declaration that got voted down. 12 Republicans voting against him, and why? Because they are part of that what's come to become euphemistically called the swamp. So, Julie, I guess to go around the horn on that one. I don't know that, at least the way things are working right now, that we really are voting for the people we think we are. We're really, in many cases, that Lindsey Graham in South Carolina is a prime example of this, I think. People that are beholden to the folks that fund them, and they always say follow the money. So anyway, hey, listen, I'm up against a break. Thank you so much for your call.
Thank you, and we'll look forward to you coming up this way if you want to visit the lake or Chimney Rock State Park.
I go up there from time to time. God bless you, Julie.
You as well. Thank you.
Okay, see you later. All right, listen, Bruce, I know you're holding, and Monty as well. If you don't mind holding, I got to get through this break. We will come back on the other side, and I'll get to your phone calls, I promise. Tony Dalen, in for Bobby Mack, back after this. Well, howdy. So glad you're here. Listen, I promised the very first crack out of the box, I'm going to the incredibly patient Bruce. How are you, Bruce? Thank you for hanging in there with me, buddy.
I'm doing well, Tony. Thanks for taking my call. You know, it seems, you know, the old adage, you know, everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die.
Yeah, right.
That's sort of a microcosm, a little, you know, words that I give you, because a couple of things that need to be done as far as, you know, is slowly, you know, if you compare the 1950s and you weighted each section of our morals, and compared and then compared them to what we, you know, have today, it is everything has changed so bad, and there's an acceptance across the board, you know, of immorality, bad language, poor language, everything you can find it on the television set. And we, you know, we tend to watch that. But one thing I think that needs to be done or could be done, and a lot of people think I'm crazy, is that there needs to be, we don't need to take away the First Amendment, but we need to keep it. But we need to modify what can be said on TV regarding the First Amendment. There used to be codes. I mean, if you cursed, you know, you couldn't curse, but now you can curse anywhere. You couldn't do it on TV. Now it could be anywhere. They need to modify it. You know, they need to regulate that to the point where you can't do that anymore. And the other thing that I think needs to be done, and this would be a telltale sign of just exactly where we are in our country. Donald Trump needs to try to incorporate or declare a public holiday in honor of Billy Graham. Huh. Now, if you were to put that before the lawyers, before the legislatures and stuff like that, you'd really find out, you know, where people stand.
Well, I think we already know, because we've seen this. I think part of this that we are going through right now, Bruce, is honestly a war against faith, Christian faith in particular. And it's been going on for a long time. In fact, the term, there's actually a term for it, cultural Marxism, is really, if you go back, you it's very obvious if you untangle it all. But this is behind this whole socialist thing that's happening right now is something that was originally called cultural Marxism. Essentially, cultural Marxism, the theory is, and this started back in the 30s, but because you couldn't get the proletariat the way the Soviet Union did to have an uprising, you'd have to depend on cultural leaders to destroy what was the existing mainly Christian cultural and moral standards, and through this originally you could drive disoriented people into believing into socialism and communism. So the very first thing they did, if you go back and you can pretty clearly see it, is began to divide us up into victim groups who were being suppressed. And I think it was Obama that made the comment one time, or one of the Democrats, create a crisis and then solve it. Well, that's essentially what Saul Alinsky and all of these people have always recognized as a way to do this. Heck, you could go back to Hitler and the Reichstag and the false flag of what happened there and see how easily this is done. And so today, the only people that are being vilified, by and large, even though it's subtle in some cases, are people of faith. Of course, God forbid you're a white male, because now you're just guilty by birth of toxic masculinity. Whereas Christianity, by definition, is the most inclusive of all religions, in that it says, love your neighbor, love God, love your neighbor, love your enemy, no matter what color, no matter where they're from. I mean, that is, and Martin Luther King espoused those views. And of course, his entire worldview has been hijacked by the left, and particularly the black activists, Al Sharptons and the rest. So I'm sorry that's a wordy answer to you, but I think the truth of the matter, if President Trump were to attempt to do that, you would have the people at CARE who today are blaming him. If you can imagine the Council of Arab American Relations, which is a front for Hezbollah, that they are blaming Donald Trump for this guy in New Zealand shooting somebody. How in the world? But that's where we are.
I understand, Lou. There's the resentment, in my opinion, is resentment among people, the native populace, who feel they've been treated unequal or unfairly, and others have put ahead of them. I think, as you said, you know, earlier when you led into the program, you know, things will build slowly and then a tragic event will happen. I think that's going to continue to build, and unfortunately there's going to be a lot more things like this that are going to occur.
Well,
but I appreciate you taking my call.
Hey, I appreciate your call. Thank you so much, Bruce. God bless. Yeah, and I tell you what, if you want to know how we got here, one of the ways we got here, I believe it was Karl Marx that said the philosophy in the schoolroom in one generation will be the philosophy of government in the next. So all of this brainwashing that has been underway in academia for 50 years now, the bitter fruit of that is coming home to roost. And another great quote is one of my favorites. It's a Benjamin Franklin quote, which makes the point I started with. Only a virtuous people are capable of freedom, and nations become corrupt and vicious, they have more need of masters. So right now, if you look at where we are at a demographic defining point. And you may have heard this term, but it's true. Demographics are destiny. Well, the demographics in this country do not bode well for our form of government. And let me give you some statistics to bolster this point, because it's kind of eye-opening. Are you aware that between 2016, when Trump won, and 2020, Election Day, during this period of time, more than 10 million Americans will have died in the mostly older demographic, who are also, by and large, the more conservative voting group? Well, they're more or less being replaced by approximately 16 million young people who will turn 18 during that same period of time. And what do we know about them? By and large, they have been taught in academia that everything is wonderful and that socialism is great. And they think occasional cortex AOC is just the coolest thing ever, even though it has been revealed this week. And this isn't, I mean, Tara was talking about it this morning. It's absolutely a fact that she was recruited. She was a waitress 2 years ago, and now she is setting policy for the entire Democratic Party. So if that is true, and demographics continue the way they will, and they will, it's pretty obvious that at some point there's a good likelihood that the Democrats are going to end up with the presidency in both houses. And when you have that, you can see already you're going to have Antifa running the government. And it is a very short leap from there to the end of the Second Amendment. And I think it's pretty obvious that when we reach this that point, we're right on the point where we're going to have a civil war. Here's what's different about America. Many things are different about America, but one of them is that we have a Second Amendment. And today, on the heels of this tragedy that happened in New Zealand, this nut, already the calls are out there. The voices are screaming. We've got to do something about these guns. We've got to take the guns away. You know this. It's the same thing that Herr Heinrich Himmler said this. He said, the only people that deserve guns are members of the SS and the SA. Nobody else in this culture needs a gun. Well, that's kind of how it all went down over there. And the left, what's different about this country is that wouldn't work here. Because truly, if they came and tried to do that in much of the continental United States, geographically speaking, forget about the left coast and the northeast and where all those blue states are, but the South, for example, good luck on trying to make that happen. But I think you have to understand that there are people that are working every single day to make that happen, and some of them are the people who funded, to the tune of about $2 million, the campaign of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and have put her in her place and are the people pulling the strings. And if you go behind the scenes and see who these people are, and I don't have their names in front of me right now, are from some of the most radical organizations you ever heard of. And so we're heading toward a tipping point. And throughout history, this is how it happens. I said at the beginning of the show that historically things develop slowly and then they happen suddenly. It is true with markets. You know, I say that as a retirement planner. I've seen this time and again. It's true with pretty much every element of history. And that is why I think we are this next, I know you hear it every time, but it's really true. There's a war right now against Donald Trump, but it isn't against Donald Trump exactly. It's really more against us because that's who Donald Trump is. He just is a representative of the worldview that people like myself and you, I would suspect, many of you, hold. And that runs counter to the people in Washington who think they are running the show. And by that I mean, and I'll use the term again, the deep state. All of these people want to control what we think, what we do, and they want to use our money to achieve their ends through taxation and through the Federal Reserve and so forth. So we're already in an uncivil war for the existence of this country, at least as envisioned originally by the Founding Fathers. And I think more than ever, we really have to be willing to stand for what we say we believe and, if necessary, fight for it, as our Founding Fathers did. So, and on that note, I once again have to take a little moment when I come back. I think it is Chris in Pelzer. You just stay right where you are, Chris. We'll get to that. Oh, yes, and I've got some good text on the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line. We'll come back with that as well. Tony Dale in for Bobby Mack back in a moment. Well, howdy. So glad that you are joining this afternoon. The good news is I think the rain is over. You'll be happy to know that. I say this as a recovering meteorologist, though indeed my wife, Pernilla, would say, no, you haven't recovered one little bit. But anyway, so if you want to join in on all of this, and I'd love for you to do that, you can on the Ingalls Advantage Talk line, 800-347-1063, or the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, 71307, which we will get to momentarily. But first, we're starting out with Chris and Pelzer. How in the world are you doing, Chris?
Doing good, sir. Hope you are doing just as fine as I am. I just got back from the VA in Columbia, my one of my monthly visits I got to do down there. And on my way back, I decided to call Nancy Pelosi.
Did you now? And what did sweet Nancy have to say to you?
Well, you know, I call all these people all the time. If you call Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's number, it immediately tells you to go to her website. They don't even answer the phone. There's not a voicemail. You can't leave a message or nothing. They're not taking calls, period. And for most of the time, you get a voicemail for Nancy, too. And I was shocked that someone actually answered the phone. And when they did, I said, I want to be straight up front with you. I am not a Democrat voter. She goes, okay. I said, but I'm not here to hound and pound you. I said, I want to know if you know who the Justice Democrats are. And she goes, no. And I said, really? I said, you really don't know who put out the audition calls for Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib? I said, do you know who's actually running their seats? I said, because it's not them. And she goes, I said, you know, it's been in Rolling Stone. I said, there's been podcasts on it. I said, you know, if you can research it yourself. I said, I'm not going to do your homework, but I can't believe that you people are that ignorant enough to let your party go to pot because of this group and the morons that they're putting in your seats.
It is amazing. Of course, watching Nancy Pelosi speak, I mean, come on. She's out there, man.
My father had dementia, and gosh, God bless him. You know, I hate to say it, but she almost acts like my father did sometimes before he passed. Yeah. And I don't think she's all there. And that party is leaderless. You can tell just by the way that those three knucklehead newcomers muscled her out of that anti-Semitism legislation.
Isn't it ironic?
There's no way a real leader of a party would let three newcomers like that. And this is why I told her, too. I said, do you like your job working for Nancy Pelosi? I said, because they're going to put someone up the primary against her, and you're going to be out of the job the next election.
Yeah.
She was freaking out.
it is amazing. You know, you bring up the anti-Semitism legislation. And here we sit, there's a crazed lunatic gets a hold of an illegal gun. I lived in New Zealand for 3 years. I just want to say this about this.
Oh, yeah.
They're already saying, we got to do something, take the guns away. See, it's the guns, as usual. And I would point out that just as in the case with the guy that killed all the people in Norway some years back with an illegal weapon, these two were illegal weapons. Those guns are not allowed to be owned in New Zealand, nor in New
York. They have the strictest gun laws.
I know, and it's always where
there's no way. I mean, if you have a pistol, you can't even carry it unless you're taking it from gun club to gun club. You can't have it in your house, and you have to have a license to have a rifle or a shotgun first before you can even apply for the license to get a pistol. And I mean, you have to know two people have to know you for at least 10 years. One has to be a family member. One has to not be. Then you have to let the police come to your house and see where you're going to store the weapons in order for you to even keep a rifle in your house.
Yep.
And then Ocasio-Cortez blames the NRA, and they're not even in New Zealand.
Okay, and then today, as I mentioned earlier, the head of the Arab thing, blaming hatred for Muslims and Arabs on Donald Trump. I would have to say, I think hatred, if there is any, probably has more to do with 9/11 and Hezbollah and ISIS and the numerous people who have been murdered by terrorists from that bunch. But of course, we've got to, you know, all get along here. They're a victim.
There was a politician from New Zealand. He was I guess they call him a senator, and I was listening to the radio earlier. He put out a statement that said, while this tragedy is horrific, He blamed it on the broken immigration system that allowed these hateful Muslims into their country.
God bless him. That took some cojones to say that.
That took some real big cojones to do. And I imagine Alexandra will go after him, too, once she hears about it. But, you know, he said, you know, this immigration system has allowed these people to come to our country that do not assimilate. Basically, what do you say? They do not assimilate, and they do not want to. They hate us. They're here to take over. They are not here to become one of us. They're here against us. And our immigration system that is broken has allowed this, and that has allowed this hate to brew in our country. And that's the same thing. It's not that I hate Muslims. I hate the Islam religion because it is inherent. It is the one thing it wants to do is take out all the infidels.
It does.
They don't want to be here to be with us. They want to here to take over us. They want us to either assimilate to their life or be gone. And I will go down fighting before I become one of them. I can guarantee that.
Well, Chris, I appreciate your call and as well as your fervor, as well as your service. And I'm glad you got a good report from the VA. How about that?
Thank you very much.
All right, buddy. Have a good weekend. Bye. A good Friday.
You too.
Well, we're just about out of time and for this hour. So having said that, you know, I got through this whole hour, and I think I got a couple of minutes here. I can probably get – nah, I can't get one in. But I'm gonna start the next hour before I get into any other things with some of these fabulous texts you've sent. Just please cut me some slack. Sorry I didn't get to them today. It's just – it is what it is. When you're the guest – host, when you come in every so often, takes a little while to kind of get your groove going. So that's me today. All right. So three more hours of this fun and frolic. By all means, join in as the afternoon progresses on this fabulous Friday. Tony Dale in for Bobby Mack. I'll be back right after this.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.